had standardized lists of equipment and so forth, and we knew how to go about it.
Field, the battlefield?
Yeah, it was behind the lines, but at the division level. We were assigned to the division hospital level, and we were sent. And they asked us where we would like to go, the choices of different battle areas. And because I understood I could speak Cantonese, they said, well, why don't you go to the south?
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of going to Guangdong, I went to Guangxi. And so I was in, I went to Guizhou, and then from there we went to, I followed the troops. At that time, those were the troops of, have you heard of Zhang Fakui? It was one of the older generals. He was supposed to be a very good general. And so I followed his troops at the division level. We were in one division. Followed. Wherever the division command went, we followed them. And we would receive, they would give us their most severe cases.
Mm.
Because they didn't have very much equipment, and the training of the medical staff was not a tool. And we were considered as fully trained people, although we didn't have much experience. I was just finishing my internship at that time. But the Chinese Red Cross operated in a very well-supervised way, because three groups of three teams would be together in one area. For example, in the Guangxi area, there were three teams. And one of the team leaders was a more experienced doctor. I still remember his name, but he has since died. He was a graduate of PMC, very good surgeon. And so whenever there was a battle and we had quite a number of casualties, the three groups would form together, because we were never too far apart. And we would all form together and we would operate and we would see about the job and care and all that. And all the three groups would join together for that. But if there was no fighting, then we would take care of the sick. And there were many sick people, many sick soldiers, mostly the cesarean and diarrhea.
So how long did you do this?
So I did that for a full year.
41?
Up to 41. Up to 41, in the summer of 41, I got letters from my father. He was very much worried because I was in the battle area and so forth. And he was ill. He had heart disease, so he asked me to return. And at that time, I felt that I was thinking of my future at that time. I said, well, if I stay on, I may be doing some good work, working in the field, but at the same time, I was losing out because many others were in hospitals in the city and were getting better training and so forth. So I was thinking of my training. And since I had the advantage of being born in the United States, I could go back at any time. And my father was ill, so I took advantage of this too. Go from, you know where I was at the time? At the time I left the front lines, I was almost at the border of Vietnam.
Mm.
At what is now called the Yiguan, the Friendship Pass,
mm.
Right next to Vietnam. Our troops had gone to that place. And then I went all the way back to Nanning. And then from Nanning I went back to Guiyang, where I had my discharge papers all prepared. And then from Nanning I went to Chongqing, because it was only from Chongqing that I could fly out.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other way I can get out of China. The Japanese had occupied the whole of China by that time, even Guangzhou. So I applied in Chongqing. I said, well, I would be overseas Chinese, and I showed them my passport. And so finally I got permission to leave. So I flew out of Chongqing in an old DC-2 plane. At night, because they didn't fly in the daytime, they flew at night, and I landed in Hong Kong. And after I landed in Hong Kong, I decided to go to Shanghai again, because an old girlfriend of mine, we had known each other ever since we were in college, She was working in Shanghai after I went to the CA. And so I decided to go back to Shanghai, get married, and then come back, and then go together to the United States. And she wanted to continue the same story. So I took a ship from Shanghai, from Hong Kong to Shanghai, landing again in the French Concession, which was still intact at that time. And in August of 41, we got married. And in September, we took the boat back to the United States. So that was in 41. And then a few months later, that was Pearl Harbor. So I stayed 8 years in the United States after that, because I was studying my training here in the United States.
Yeah, you came back in 41. Did
41.
You start practicing?
No, I had, because I felt that my training in China was not as good as I would like to have it, because it was the war years, you see, and I had to be cut down to a certain extent anyway because of the stages of the war. So I decided to do a rotating internship at the Los Angeles County Hospital, which is known as the Los Angeles County General Hospital. And so I applied for that, and I was admitted in 42.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a year's rotating internship there. By rotating internship, I mean, they give you a schedule. For 1 month you'll be in internal medicine, another month you'll be in surgery, another month you'll be in neurology and so forth. And so I did a year's rotating internship.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt that I needed a background in pathology, because pathology is a very basic subject in medicine. And so I applied to Harvard Medical School, and you see, it was just at the beginning of the war, and a lot of people were called into the Army. Well, I was called into the Army too, because I was an American citizen. But because I had tuberculosis at one time in China, I didn't know I had it.
Mm-hmm.
Until they took an x-ray film and I found a big scar. It was already calcified scar, it was no longer infectious. But they have very strict regulations concerning how large a scar could be. And if it was over 1 centimeter in diameter, they said, it won't take you. So I said, all right, if they don't take me, well, I'll continue with my studies. And so I had a chance to do a year's pathology at Harvard Medical School. First at the Peter Van Brigham Hospital, and then later at the Children's Hospital, which is just across the street. And I was very much interested in pathology, because even as a student, I used to work extra hours in pathology to help my pathology professor. And during summer vacations, when everybody went home, I had no home to go to, so I worked in pathology laboratory. I was very much interested in that. In fact, I wanted to make it my life work. But I developed a very severe dermatitis, and because of the fixatives that I use, I'm very sensitive to that. And it became so troublesome that my whole body is covered with weeping sores because of dermatitis. And finally, the dermatologist said, well, you'll have to stop pathology because you're going to work with these chemicals all your life. So I said, well, in that case, I will go into clinical pediatrics, because I was very much interested in disease of children, because I worked in children's pathology at the Children's Hospital. And so since there was no opening for me in Boston at that time, I went back to Los Angeles, where I was assistant resident in pediatrics at White Memorial Hospital, opposite the Cali Hospital. And I did 9 months there.
So a year in Harvard. 42.
A year in Harvard in pathology.
In 43, right?
In 43, yes.
And then
in early 44, in January 44, up through to September 44, I was at the White Memorial Hospital. I was a teaching resident, or assistant resident, or teaching resident, teaching medical students, and combining my knowledge of pathology with clinical pediatrics. And I applied to Bellevue Hospital, the Children's Medical Service, because I knew the professor of pediatrics there at that time, Dr. Wilson, because I met him in Boston. And he accepted me as an assistant resident in pediatrics at Bellevue Hospital. But he told me that he was about to leave for Michigan. But he said, somebody is going to take my place, and that person is a very excellent pediatrician, a very well-known pediatrician. He didn't tell me who it was until I arrived in New York, and I found that he was L. Emmett Holt, Jr., who was the writer of the textbook, which is a standard textbook, Holt and McIntosh, mm-hmm. in pediatrics. Very wonderful person. So I was his first, at first I was an assistant resident for half a year. Then I became his resident for the next half a year. So I worked with him for 5 years, from 1944 September to 1949 July. You asked me about what my impressions were after returning. I was in China for 10 years, you see. Mm-hmm. And so returning to this country, I did find that it wasn't difficult as far as adjustment was concerned, because my life in China was, all our classes were held in English, and we used English quite a lot, especially in medicine. But I felt I had the advantage of, at least, that I could read and write Chinese, and I could speak Mandarin. And of course I found many changes in the States. We had moved to a new house, and my father, he was very proud of me, the fact that I had finished my medical training and so forth. And I renewed my acquaintances with a lot of other relatives and friends. And the year after I got back here, my first daughter was born. So I think the adjustment was very easy. It wasn't difficult for me at all. And then a lot of people asked me to talk about the anti-Japanese war and about my experiences in China. So not only in the Chinese community, but in the American community. Because at that time, the Americans had declared war in Japan after Pearl Harbor.
Did you live with your parents?
Yeah, when I came back, I had lived with my parents. Because I was not independent. An intern doesn't get any money. Mm-hmm. An intern gets only his food and lodging and laundry. That's all. Mm-hmm. In the old days. Now they get a good salary, but in that time, at that time, they didn't get any money at all.
You said that back in high school, junior high, your friends were mostly American?
Well, I didn't have many friends anyway. There were very few. And I don't recall even a single person that I was very close to. Because I think that it was this, again, this avoidance of it's different than it is now. In those days, they don't look upon the Chinese as being very friendly. They were not too friendly. Socially, they were not friendly. And as I said, even in grammar school, we were picked on.
Mm-hmm.
But in high school, it was better, because in high school, I think people were more mature, and the same kind of teachers were much more friendly, I thought. In fact, some of my teachers, as I said, kept corresponding with me all the time while I was in China. So I had no difficulty in adjusting myself coming back here.
Do you think of yourself mostly as a Chinese or anything like that? At that time, yeah.
Well,
before you went and then after you came back, were there any changes?
Well, I think I thought of myself more as a Chinese. Because
before
of the
you went and after you came back?
Yeah. Before I went, I felt, well, before I went, I also felt that I was Chinese because I was different from others.
Mm-hmm.
But having been in China for 10 years and knowing China much better, I felt that I had some authority to speak about China.
Mm-hmm.
And when some people would make some snide remarks about China, I could correct them. I said, well, that's not true, because I have been in China and know what it is.
In other words, you identify China as your country.
Yes.
This is the end of the duplicate of Tape 1, Side 2 of the interview with Dr. Arthur Chung.